Well, how many of you have your Bibles? Want to open up to guess where? Mark 4. Mark, yeah. Don't laugh. A good pastor friend of mine is preaching on Mark 4. So I told him I did that for 2.5 years. I said, for $9.95, I'll give you all 100-some-odd dates, and shipping and handling is free. It's on me. Amen? I told him, you don't know what you're in for, man, because once you get your teeth into something, understand now, your pastor, every week he gets up, and anytime someone's in his pulpit, what we're doing is putting seed out there. Amen. Amen. We're putting seed in your heart. Amen. So I want you to take a look at Mark 11, 23 again and 24. For truly I say unto you, remember we talked about this, we've been using it for a while, that how many says are in here? There's 3 or 4 says, but there's only one believe. And now we've said this, Christianity is really called the great confession. Because if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens? You'll be saved. Amen. Say glory to God. We were talking a few weeks ago about sin consciousness. If you take a look at your Bible, you'll find out that there's no sin consciousness concerning us. And even God has erased our sin from his conscience. That's what it says in Hebrews. So there's nothing that can come back at us and try to take us down. He's a loser. He'll always be a loser, you understand? If you ever played a game of any kind and the scoreboard says you won, well, the other team can't come back on the field and try to beat you because you're already defeated, all right? That team lost, Satan lost, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nothing is ever gonna change that, amen? So understand something about this scripture verse, that if you and I have something bigger than we are, that's the mountain Jesus is talking about, if we do, we have to first believe in our hearts that it's going to happen. I'm here to tell you the Word of God is full of scriptures that talk about how great God is. I was reading the other day when Moses was told to strike the rock. Remember that? And what happened? Water. For how many people? 3+ million people, plus livestock. The next time God told him about a rock, what did he tell him to do? Speak to it. What did Moses do? Listen, we have to grow in faith in order for God to say to us, well, this time, this is the easy one. Now, the next time, I want you to speak to the rock. I don't know about you, striking it is pretty hard for me, but his faith could have grown, but it didn't grow to the place where he could actually speak to the rock. Now, understand something. God knew he could do it. It's like when they fed the 5,000, God told them, well, you go ahead and feed them. He knew what they could do, but they didn't know what they could do. See, faith, listen to me, faith is so important and something I hope we got in your spirit. First of all, you start in faith, then you stay in faith. Amen. Then you have to finish in faith. If you want a good person to look at, it's Jesus Christ. He started in faith because the Father said, you've got to go to earth and help us out here. These kids got to come back home. We've got to stay in faith. There were times when Jesus probably didn't want to stay in faith. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, you'll find out there was a time when he said, Father, this cup could pass from me, let it be so. See, that was the problem, and I sometimes look at that, is that Jesus was crucified on the cross, but I really think his flesh was crucified in the Garden of Gethsemane, because that was the turning point. He stayed, and then he finished it, and he went to the rugged cross, but then again, a little bit further, and he rose from the dead. Amen. Say he rose from the dead. Now, I want you to understand about Mark 11, 23 and 24, that if this works for you and I, the enemy will use the same thing. He will cause us to hear something in our head, then begin to say it out of our mouth that counteracts the Word of God. So we've got to be careful that our confession lines up with the Word. Amen? Say amen. Amen. Now, just keep your finger where you are. There's two kinds of faith, if I could say that to you. There's what I call head faith and heart faith. See, head faith is a mental assent. I know what that is. But heart faith actually says what God says. Now, Jesus ran across this with a man named who? Doubting Thomas. Am I right? God only knows how many stories that he heard about Jesus. Somebody stole the body. It wouldn't really happen. But there's two kinds of faith. And if you understand something, Thomas had the kind of faith where he had to have sense knowledge in order to believe it. But when Jesus walked through the wall, what happened? He walks up to who? And what did he say? Go ahead, Thomas. Look at my arm. And he touched him and he said, now I believe. But what did Jesus say? It's so key. He said this, blessed you are, Thomas, to see and believe. but more blessed. Raise your hand, say, I'm part of the more blessed crowd. Because we didn't see it, but we believe it by faith. And you know our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, the Lord gave me something catchy I shared Thursday morning. They actually laughed. I don't know if it was at me or what I said. But we have astronauts that go to the moon, go with space program. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham did not stagger at the promises of God. Now, why didn't he stagger? How old was he? Old. Thank you very much. Well, let's move on. How old was his wife? Old. They're beyond childbearing years. Am I right? And this is what I heard in my spirit. I thought it was cute, but we have astronauts. We really need in Christianity is staggernauts. We need people who won't stagger at the promises. We're in God's space program. We're not going to stagger what God says to us. Amen. Now listen, we live literally in an arena, in an area where there is so much information coming to us and at us. It's been said that this generation has the most information coming at it than any other generation in the history of mankind. You and I can't take all that information in. It's too much, weighs us down, and it causes so much of a heaviness on us that we don't know what to do with it. The information in the Word of God will not put so much on us to weigh us down. It literally will set us free. The Word of God in every single book of the Bible says that He, Jesus Himself, what He's done and what He's doing and He will do. Amen? I don't know if I'll get through all of them. If not, we'll pick up on it next week. Amen? In Genesis, He's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, He's the Passover lamb. See, I'm not overburdened yet, are you? No. In Leviticus, He's our high priest. And what did we talk about? The high priest of our confession. Amen? We have a kingdom that's what? Unshakable. Let me step out of that for a minute. Hebrews 12:28. Let us therefore receive a kingdom that is firm. There's nothing firm in this world. Nothing firm. Nothing stable that can't be shaken. Listen, it cannot be shaken. Offered to God, pleasing service, acceptable worship, with modesty, pious care, godly fear and awe. Since we are receiving our rights to an unshakable kingdom, you and I have our rights in the Word of God. Its kingdom is unshakable. Now, if you'll understand, this Antichrist spirit in the world today wants to put away the Word of God and anything that represents what we've lived, what we've had all the way up till now. He's our high priest in Leviticus. In Numbers, He's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. What is? The presence of God. Now, where is the presence of God today? In here. If anybody touched the ark, what would happen to them? In the Bible says, one person tried to level it up a little bit while they're carrying it, and he dropped dead. That same presence of God today, listen, because of what Jesus Christ has done, lives in here. And people can touch us, touch our lives, and we can touch them, and nobody's going to drop dead. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, it says. Say, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. The presence of God, the pillar of the cloud is in us, and the pillar of fire is with us even at night. All day long, we're covered by Jesus Christ. Amen. In Deuteronomy, He's a prophet like unto Moses. Amen. There are many prophets in the world today. The only prophet I'm going to go to is the one right here. His name is Jesus. Amen. In Joshua, He is the captain of our salvation. You realize how silly it was for Joshua to go around that city of Jericho and listen to the instruction? Listen, nobody can say a word. Who can keep quiet? Think about that today. Social media, nobody can keep quiet. Everybody's got something to say. But it came out of the heart of God to Joshua, tell the people not to say a thing. What happened to the walls of Jericho? They came down, just like God said they would. Hey, there's our first Old Testament, the staggernaut. Yeah, that's good. I like that. It was Joshua. Anyway, moving right along. In Judges, He's our judge and our lawgiver. In Ruth, He is the kinsman redeemer. Oh, what does that mean? Read the book of Ruth. Find out these truths. In 1 and 2 Samuel, He is our trusted prophet. See, there's all kinds of prophets in the world, but the only one you can really trust is Jesus Christ. Amen? When I see somebody hand out a card or check my website out, and I see all these things that they're doing more than Jesus did while he was here on earth. Jesus Christ is your prophet. The word of God is what will speak to you and I. Amen. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. Always remember something about a king. A king is not elected. A king is born. You understand? Because when you elect somebody, there's too much volatility and there's too many people say, I like this and I like that. Everybody follows whatever the king says. This book is full of what the king says. If he says he's our healer, then he's our healer. If he says he's our salvation, then he's our salvation. We've got to take this and put it on in our spirits and let this be the first thing that comes out of our mouth on a daily basis. Amen? Listen to me now. Don't make a choice without first saying, Holy Spirit, what should I do? Don't make a decision without first asking the Holy Spirit what to do. Go to the Word of God and say, God, speak to me by your Spirit. What should I do in this situation? If we do that, we will stay on balance. We will stay on course. But when we begin to move into the head, faith, my God, it's nothing but a dead end. But Thomas found out, great was his blessings because he saw, but you and I say I'm part of the blessed cloud. More blessed crowd, why? Because I haven't seen Jesus, have you? But what's happened? He's changed my life, amen? Listen to Ezra, he is our faithful scribe. Hello, faithful scribe? This book was written by men. God spoke to them and they wrote. Listen, in Nehemiah, I like this one. He's the rebuilder of broken down walls of human life. How many people do you know, maybe you and I have gone through the same thing, where we feel like our life is just broken? You ever go through a situation? Yeah, but you feel like everything's falling down, it's broken. But when you find out who Jesus is, he is. See, he is. See, Jesus is from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. It never, ever, ever changes. Before you make any kind of a move, before you do anything, say, God, what do you say in your word? Holy Spirit, lead me to scripture that I can build my life on, not only in my lifetime, but for that particular day. Amen? Has God been faithful with you and to you? Things happen, miracles happen, am I right? Glory to God. And they're going to continue to happen. You know why? Because your faith and trust is in the word of God. Amen? In Esther, he is our Mordecai. You got to read the book. What does that mean? Go to Esther and you'll find out. In Job, he is our ever-living redeemer. Say ever-living. It's not going to change. In Psalms, he's our shepherd. Isn't that good news? I've been trying to preach on Psalm 23 for a couple of weeks now, and we had such a blowout service on Wednesday. Man, come out if you possibly can. This place just exploded. Amen? Just exploded. And the altar call was filled with more young people than I've ever seen. God was doing something supernatural. In Psalms, he's our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, hang on now, he is our wisdom. Is there a shortage of wisdom? What's wisdom? The ability to use the knowledge that you have. All the knowledge I'm going to need is right here. Now I need wisdom as to when to apply it. Amen? In the Song of Solomon, he is our lover and bridegroom. Look in Isaiah. He is the Prince of Peace. Boy, do we ever need peace. We need it today. What's he called? The Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he is the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he's our weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is wonderful, four-faced man. Amen? I think the other day I was reading about the Hebrew children being thrown into that fire, and the people that threw them in just burned up. They disappeared. That was the oven that they made bricks in. So the temperature had to be extremely hot. And when the king looks in, what does he see? Four. And he said, the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Amen. When they take them out, listen, nothing was burned. Say, nothing was burned. Have you ever seen somebody light a barbecue and don't lift up the lid? And then when it finally goes, blows off, and they come over to your house and there's no eyebrows or nothing like, you ever see that? What do? Lift up the lid and then you light it. Otherwise it gets all right. He came and saw these three Hebrew children. Listen to me now. They had the ropes that bound them off. Not one hair was burned or singed. Ever lit a campfire and you got too close? Do you feel, am I right? And you look down and everything's curled on your hand. fire will burn you. But when God gets in the fire with you, he'll put the protection of God's word on you, and all they were doing was doing what God told them to do, and man's not going to put them out. God puts out the fire, but he's not going to put you out. Amen? God says something, just do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wow. And Daniel, he's the fourth man in life's fiery furnaces. Have you ever been through a trial or a difficult time in your life and it feels like all the heat's on you? He is the fourth man in your life. He is the Son of God who will never leave you nor forsake you. He's got you covered in every area of your life. Well, do you see how bad the economy is? No, because I don't live in the economy of the earth. I live in God's economy. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband forever married to the backslider. If you want to read something, read Hosea. Oh my God, that story. Talk about some of these programs they put on television. If somebody ever got a hold of this and put it on, my God, we'd have people getting saved by the thousands and tens of thousands. He is a faithful husband forever married to the backslider. What does that mean? His love reaches out to wherever you are, whatever mess you've in, what you're in, whatever decisions you made to cause you to go backwards. He's with you no matter what. Say he's with me. He'll never leave me what? Or forsake. He's faithful. Say he's faithful. He's faithful to his word. His word can't come back empty or void. Here's the next one. In Joel, he is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and fire. We have baptismal this week. So if you're getting baptized, when you come out of the tank, let the fire of the Holy Ghost settle on you. More than once, people have gotten filled with the Holy Ghost coming out. People have gotten healed. Amen. Transformed. So be here Wednesday night. All right. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. What does that mean? You don't have to carry your burdens anymore. He is the burden bearer. Say that. Jesus is the burden bearer. What does he say? Cast all. So you can't go like this. I'm going to give them all to him, but this one may be too big for him. Anything you got, he can handle. Try that again. Anything you have and I have, he can handle it. We can't, but he can. Amen. In Obadiah, he is the one mighty to save. Who's greater than Jesus to save all of humanity? Understand, God created time so he could place his son Jesus in time to win you and I back to our rightful place in God. Amen? Say, Jesus Christ is mighty to save me. If he could get a hold of Saul and change him to become Paul, from killing people to saving people, God can do anything. Amen? Hallelujah. In Jonah, he is our great foreign missionary. Nahum, he is the avenger of God's elect. Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, is the avenger of God's elect. How many of you are God's elect? I am. He will always be there to stand in the gap for you and with you. Habakkuk, he is God's evangelist, crying out for revival. I don't know if I said to you last Sunday or whenever, but there are now missionaries coming to the United States of America from other nations to bring the gospel to this United States of America. Wow. What does that mean, Pastor? It's not going to happen. It's already happening in pockets all over the country. Revival is breaking out. Now, I'm young enough to know when the Jesus people showed up back in the 70s, I think it was. Teenagers are getting saved, young people, by the tens of thousands. I remember when the charismatic movement started. It started, I think, in a Catholic university with a little prayer meeting. God is about to break forth like never before in the last great revival that this earth will ever see. And the United States of America, that was born out of the heart of God, people that say, God said America is dead. Don't believe that stuff. Don't believe the namesayers that say it can't happen again. If I can invite you to read some stories about the early revivals, take a look at a man with a patch on his eye out in Los Angeles. You remember his name? Seymour. Revival broke out. Huh? Did he have an education? No. He can only see out of one eye. But what happened? The power of God began to move and spread throughout this nation. This revival, say this revival, that's already started, will be greater than any other one. Nikki said something a few weeks ago when she was speaking. She likes to read about what happened, and so do I. But there's coming a time when we won't have to just talk about what happened before. We'll be talking about what's going on right now. What's going on right now? People are going to get saved in the market aisle. They're going to get saved at the hairdresser, at the barber shop. They're going to get saved at the doctor's office. They're going to get saved walking down the street when you're in the park, walking your dog. It's going to come with such force like I've never heard before or seen before. And suddenly, God's going to show up. In Zephaniah, he is our Savior. In Haggai, he is the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he is the fountain opened to the house of David for sin and uncleanness. See, God doesn't care what you've done. He's got you covered. The blood, we're going to talk about blood when it comes to faith, but not today. God has shed his blood through his son Christ so that nobody, say nobody, will be missed. Say nobody will be missed. I often use this term, and I'll use it again at the end of the service. At the cross, Jesus leveled the playing field. You didn't have to have an education. You didn't have to be a man or a woman. You didn't have to be a certain age, color of your skin. None of that mattered because Jesus leveled the playing field where his death on the cross was something that was there for everyone. I think about Jesus or Barabbas. What was Barabbas? Who did they take? The murderer. It's still going on today. People make choices contrary to the word of God. And guess what? God said, that's okay. It's part of my plan. And what happened? Jesus died, rose from the dead. You and I are here because of that. Amen. Here's a good study. Whatever happened to Barabbas? I wonder if he got saved later on. We don't know. In Malachi, he is the son of righteousness rising with healing in his wings. Healing never stops. Say, miracles never stop. Oh, here we go now. Matthew, wow. He is the Messiah. Say, he is the Messiah. It's not going to change. In Mark, he's the wonder worker. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. In John, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he is Peter's shadow. What does that mean? Peter's shadow was healing people. You can't get it on the internet. Can't go to Amazon and get Peter's shadow. They won't ship it to you. He healed people by his shadow. What does that mean? In the book of Acts, which means the Acts of the Apostles, Peter would walk down the street and people would be laid in his shadow as he did. But where did the shadow come from? How about the shadow came from Jesus? People were healed. They took cloths and gave them to people. What happened? They were healed. Well, that sounds a little pokey. No, it's not. It's the word of God. I remember the time when Ted came here, lady came, said, my husband can't come because he's very ill, you know, close to death. He got her on the phone and talked to him. The lady came back before the services were over that week, and the man got restored to health. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, they told him he was going to die. Well, that's what they said, but hello, the word of God said something different. Amen. In Romans, he's our justifier. What does that mean? We're justified by faith as if we had never, ever sinned. I am not a sinner anymore. Don't say I'm a sinner saved by grace. Just say I'm saved by grace. Because what we do is want to drag up the old man to show people I was like this. Nobody cares what you were like and what I was like before I met Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen now. In Galatians, he's the redeemer from the curse of the law. The law couldn't do it, but what? Jesus did. In Ephesians, he is, I like this, he is the Christ of unsearchable riches. Say unsearchable. That means God will give you what you need when you need it. He'll never run out. Hallelujah. Say he'll never run out. He's always going to have more than you'll ever need. There's never going to be a shortage. Look in Philippians. Oh, here we go. He is the God who supplies all our needs. Doesn't say your wants. Says your needs. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, then all the other things will be added unto you. Amen. I have found out that my wife and I put Christ first. Everything we've ever needed in life, he showed up with it. Glory. Supernatural sometimes. Hallelujah. Supernatural. When we had no money and no food, food showed up. Money showed up. What do you mean? I said money showed up. Well, how did it show up? When I went in my automobile and I turned the key, it was under the seat. I didn't mind putting my keys under. There was $500 in a wad underneath the seat. One day we opened the front door and $500 came down with a little note. I sold my saddle. Here's the $500 from selling the saddle. I don't even know who it was. Supernaturally, he supplied our needs during our wilderness experience that got us to where you are. I didn't know any of you folks then. All I knew was my family, small group of people. But then all of a sudden, God broke out and caused the word of God to come alive in myself, in my wife. It was a difficult time because wilderness means a time of trial. Oh, ever been through a trial? I know a lot of you, if not all of you. All of us have been through something. But here's what you have to understand. You've been through something. When you're going through something, it's difficult to understand why did God allow me to go through all this. But you can read in the word of God, we were talking the other day about Paul, all that he went through. Oh my God. He had Luke the physician follow him around because he was so badly beaten. My God. Well, why didn't you just, I don't understand. I don't know. Why did I have to go through things I went through? My wife, maybe you, but I know this. God knows the day today from the day tomorrow. And if I seek first the kingdom of God, he's going to take my hand and walk through the difficult times. Amen. He's Christ of unsearchable riches. My, in Ephesians. In Philippians, he is the God who supplies all of our needs. In Colossians, he's the head of the church. Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. There are some religious organizations where they have people that are head of their organization. There's only one head. Can I do this to you? There's only one church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. See, we all put signs on our church building, on this church and that church, but all we are branches of the main one. Amen? It's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Colossians, head of the church. I like that. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he is the soon coming king. When you read Thessalonians and you find out, we are right now in the midst of supernatural breakout when it comes to God coming back. Amen. The Bible says in Thessalonians that there'll be a time when there'll be a great falling away. There'll be a time when the church grows cold. There'll come a time when everything concerning the Antichrist spirit will be released. Amen. Say, seek what first? Kingdom of God. How many of you like the words of Jesus? First thing he said was, seek first the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Seek first. Say what? Seek first. What does that mean? If you will follow the word of God and seek him first, you'll find out other sources of information that comes your way will not affect your life as much because you put the word first, and the word of God being first will be used by the Holy Ghost to see you through that day. And what I get for today won't help me tomorrow. I got to go back to the dinner table. Amen. Glory to God. First and second Timothy. He is our mediator between God and man. Now, I know there are some religions where men have to go into a booth and talk to a minister or priest. Am I right? The Bible says there's one mediator. Amen. See, somebody's not reading their Bible. Amen. Who's the mediator? It's not a man. It's not your pastor. The mediator is Jesus Christ. Amen. The mediator is God. Amen. Say God and not man. And Titus, he is our faithful pastor. He's our faithful pastor. Who is? Jesus Christ is our faithful pastor. When you walk up the aisle and say, I do with your future bride or husband, you are called in that covenant relationship to be faithful. But if we don't have a faithful pastor, Jesus, on the inside of us, leading each step of the way, all of a sudden that marriage can deteriorate before it gets started. But you know, she's like to live with. You don't know what he's like to live. If you'll find out how to live in Christ, those things will never come up. Hallelujah. Why'd I ever marry that man? Why'd I ever marry him? He may have said, don't marry her, don't marry him, or give it some time. But don't say anything about that man or woman. Then your kids show up. This is for somebody. Your kids show up and you start talking nasty about your kids. This is a never-ending trip of not using the word. If you've got a kid who's rebellious, take the word of God and say, this child is blessed. This child is not rebellious. This child will serve God. Start talking out of your mouth, and I start talking out of my mouth, everything that I'm looking and reading out of the word out of my mouth. And it doesn't look like that's what's going on. But see, head faith will say, they're no good, they're rebellious. Tell them to get out of the house when they're 18. No, keep them in the house and love on them and love them and love them. Never let go of those precious children. Say amen. Glory to God. Because someday you may be bouncing grandkids off your knee. In Philemon, he is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Oh, here's a good one now. Hebrews, he is the apostle of our faith. Say he's the apostle of our faith. If you've never read, listen now, Hebrews, the 11th, the faith chapter, who's never read that? Why am I asking you that? Because it's a chapter on faith. It's called the Hall of Faith. Say the Hall of Faith. You mean the Rock and Roll Hall of Faith? No, not the football, not base. It's the Hall of Faith, spiritually speaking, because when you read everything that took place in the book of Hebrews, it'll build your faith and my faith. Don't pass by a scripture or a book because you don't like what it's saying. Listen, read the word, put it in, and say, Holy Spirit, help me to digest the word and feed my spirit man. Amen. In James, he's our great physician. Say he's our great physician. That's what it says in Isaiah. He's what? Our great physician, capital P. What does that mean? That means doctors can help you, medicine can help you, but Jesus is our great physician. First and second Peter, he is our chief shepherd, who soon shall appear with a crown of unfading glory. Woo! What does that mean? He's coming back. I said he's coming back. When someone passes on in your family or somebody you know, I always build people up with this. We're going to see him again. This is not the end. That's just a homecoming. We're going to see that person again. Hallelujah. I said we're going to see that person again. It's called the blessed hope of the church to know that Jesus is coming back for the church. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he is love. In Revelation, he is the Lord of hosts and the King of Kings. Now, what do you see in every single book of the Bible? Jesus. You can't go wrong by picking up this word and saying, Jesus, you're in Nehemiah. I'm going to read this and God, you're going to speak to me. Can I give you a few more before we close down? Say this with me. He's our awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Say he's an awesome God. Listen now. He is the one who made the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's no shortage of what God has for you. He is the one who split the Red Sea wide open. He's the one who came and took the Israelites out of Egypt's bondage. If you and I are in bondage today for some reason, God is going to set you free. Oh, I like this one now. He's the one who defeated Satan. He defeated who? Satan. So if he's been defeated, why let him back in the house? Don't let him in your house. The only way he can have access to your life and my life is by saying out of our mouth, well, if Jesus was going to heal me, he would have done that by now. Well, if God really loved me, I've been tithing and my income is getting worse. No. Stick with what you know. Stick with what you know. Amen. Glory to God. He is the one who defeated Satan right in the pit of hell and left him paralyzed. Do you ever think about that? Jesus came from heaven, went to hell, and went back to heaven. Why did he go to hell? To set the captives free. Say that aloud. Set the captives free. Say, set the captives free. And on the way out, it says in Revelation, he asked for the keys of death, hell, and the grave. It says in Romans, death, where's your sting? There is no sting when it comes to death, because death cannot take you and I over. Jesus did through his shed blood. Amen. He's the one who baptized thousands on the day of Pentecost. He's still baptizing people today with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's what's going to happen on Wednesday. He's the one who raised the dead. He's still raising the dead. Huh. He is the one who healed the sick, and he's still healing. The only place he couldn't heal was where? In his own hometown, because they took on the spirit of familiarity and said, isn't this the carpenter's son? The little kid who went around. Remember the time he broke my window? No, don't get stuck with a spirit of familiarity. Can I say this? Even when it comes to your pastor and somebody who's ministering here, Well, you know, they're here every week. And you, if the word of God comes to a man or woman of God, get a hold of a piece of it. It belongs to you. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Amen. He is the one who made the blind see. And he's still making the blind see. He hasn't stopped. He's the fourth one in the fire who never will forsake us or desert us. Jesus will not forsake you or desert you. He's the one who walked on the water. I always liked that with Peter. And I remember, I think it was, I forget his pastor's name. He said, Peter didn't walk on the water. He walked on the word. Think about that. Jesus spoke the word and they took off. He's the one who took water and changed it into wine. He's the one who spoke to the wind and the storm ceased. What did he do? Spoke to the storm. What did he do? Spoke. When a storm rises up, speak to it. Go like this. Speak to the storm. What will that do? Tell the storm to lie down and stop. And what's the next thing he said to the disciples in the boat? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? How did Jesus do it? Because he had faith in the word. He was the word, had faith in his Father, and he knew that if he spoke something out of his mouth, something would supernatural take place. Amen? He's the one who knows as the Almighty Counselor and Prince of Peace. Say, Counselor, Prince of Peace. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one who said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. What does that mean? He's the beginning of everything and is the end of everything. Amen? Say, he's the beginning and end. Wow. He is the one who is for us, with us, and in us. That's what Jesus said about the Holy Ghost. He's with you, but he's going to eventually be in you. Amen? He is the one coming back for the church very soon. I'm part of that one. Amen? Say, he's coming soon. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. I can't wait. Amen? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the one whom every name must bow its knee. He's the one who we worship. He's the one to whom we give first priority in our lives. Say, first priority. He's the one who will give us victory over the impossible. He's the father to the orphan and the husband to the widow. Bill just came back, Bill Wilson from the Ukraine. You check out his webpage, I forget where it is, Facebook. You'll find out everything that took place. He emptied three orphanages. One where there are handicapped children. As he was driving through, he missed the bus that he was supposed to be on, and it got hit by sniper fire. And two people on the bus got killed, another one seriously injured. He missed the bus. God spared him. He saw as he went from town to town that a lot of the guards had no protection on them, trying to guard and protect. He hooked up with a man from Austria. Listen to this. You can read it. And the man made Kevlar. He was able to get Kevlar and get helmets and protection for these people. Just go. What a man of God. He said again, there's not one kid, not one kid, because he was left on a street corner for 3 days with nobody. And he said, not one child will ever perish. Amen? A couple more and we'll go. Fair enough? He is the bright and morning star. He is saved the bright and morning. Wow, I'm still going to say, this year, I made it my heart to see a shooting star. Amen? He's the pearl of great price. He's the rock in a weary land. He's the cup that runs over. He's the rod and staff that will comfort me. The last one I want to give you. He is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, our Savior, our companion, our Lord, and our King. Say that with me. He's what? The living God. He is our Savior, our companion, our Lord, and our King. Glory to God. Say glory to God. Say glory to God. Say hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Glory, glory. That relationship is available. Don't ever get stuck in Thomas' head faith. Get stuck in the real faith. Our five senses will mess us up, but the Holy Ghost won't. All right? Bow your heads right where you are. I'm going to talk to our audience just for one moment of time. If you've been watching by television, you'll watch this program in some format. I want you to know Jesus Christ loves you, cares about you. We've just gone through the Word of God. Every book talks about Jesus, gave some other things that Jesus represents in our life. I want you to know he loves you, cares about you, and he died for your sins. The Bible says very plainly, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness or remission of sins. Jesus shed his blood. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords came to earth to die just for you and just for me. So Harvest Church will join you. If you want to ask Christ into your life, say these words with me. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Right now, I'm accepting what you did for me on Calvary and you died and rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Today, my sins are forgiven. My old person passes away. Something's going to become brand new. And that's Jesus in me. Amen.